When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
Hey, it's me, Jersey, and it's time for your Thunder Punch Daily, the show I record not so daily, sharing a few thoughts from the mind of a cartoonist. So I just finished the first session of my yearly Comic Book Academy class at the Ann Arbor District Library. It just occurred to me today when I walked in that this is my fourth year doing this class. It blows my mind. And so much cool stuff has happened in that 4 years. We had so many announcements to throw out at the top of the class that it really struck me that, wow, you know, when I started this thing, it was a test run project. It wasn't guaranteed to be every year. That itself was working hard over the course of about a year and a half of doing one-off workshops, trying to drum up interest in this thing. And now we had to spend about 15 minutes announcing all the neat stuff that's going on at the Ann Arbor District Library as a result of starting the Comic Book Academy. So hooray for me. But that's not why I wanted to talk about today. What I wanted to talk about was an interesting question that came up during the class. Now, this class was for little kids, but for some reason or another, some adults came out and took the class as well. And when I asked them, I said, you do know that tomorrow is the Comics Fundamentals class for adults. And they said, yeah, well, I want to take both, which was incredibly encouraging. But one of the questions that an adult asked me that I thought was pretty good food for thought was, he said, hey, look, I want to do a graphic novel. I have a lot of notes compiled. I have many key scenes written out, but I don't know how to compile those into a story. I don't know how to arrange them. How do you know which ones to put first, which ones to put second, and so on? How do you arrange these various scenes into a narrative structure? Now, before I go any further, disclaimer time, there's more than one way to write, of course. Some people write by collecting scenes. Some people write by collecting just random ideas and character designs. Some people write by sitting down with a pad of legal paper and they just start writing and finding out what's going to happen as they go. There's a million ways to do everything, right? Especially in the arts. But if you are the kind of person who writes interesting scenes about your characters and you're not sure yet where they're supposed to fall in the overall narrative, there's a couple tricks that I have found to be very useful that I'll just share, and they may or may not work for you, but it'll at least be something that's worth trying. And I'm going to talk once again about themes, but you guys all know, if you've been listening to the show for any amount of time, you know how important themes are to me. Like, what is the argument of your story? There's an old episode of Thunder Punch Daily called Argue for Your Theme. I do like to write stories that present an argument and then line up my characters to all debate the point made in that argument through their actions, give them all a unique viewpoint, and explore the different ways of looking at the argument through the characters. Now, does that mean that the theme of the story is something I'm trying to indoctrinate my readers with? No. I like to think about it first and foremost as a organizational tool for my story. It doesn't have to be something that comes out within the story. It can just be something that you use to arrange your ideas and start to make sense of out of all these ideas. Because when you are writing, there are a million choices at every turn of the story. How do you prioritize those choices? So that's really what I'm talking about here is back up, stop, ask yourself what you're trying to say, first and foremost. What are you trying to say through this story, even if it's not terribly explicit, even if it's just something that you think is an idea that gets explored in your story? Let's go back an episode to the last episode I did, episode 131, where I did a review of Peter Bagg's Other Lives. And in that, he had a very clear theme or argument or question that he was proposing. The big idea being exploring the double lives we all lead, and specifically through the lens of this new technology called Second Life, relatively new technology, right? And so when you read the book, you'll see that I don't think he's making a clear judgment call in any one direction. He's showing you all the potential possibilities And just as those potential possibilities exist in all life, even beyond the second life thing, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about like pushing an agenda on somebody. So I back up and I ask myself, what is the big idea of my story? What is the argument? What is the question that I'm proposing that I want to explore through the lives of these characters? And the next thing I think about, which I think is can be extremely useful, is look through all of those different scenes and try to prioritize them in some kind of sense of which ones stand out as really representing that big idea, or at least exploring that big idea clearly. For instance, do a case in point. So the next front story I'm working on, which I've been talking about for some time, I've been writing it for a long time, and you know, just it's just a matter of finding the time to actually draw it. I intend it to be a romance story. And in that romance story, I have a very specific theme or argument that I've constructed to say, this is what romance or love means to me as an author. Now, is that going to be clear in the story? It may or may not be. We'll see. We'll see when people read it. But in exploring that, I've asked that question of a handful of different characters within the story from their point of view. So Thirsty, Rex, Dick, you know, good guys and bad guys. Each of them are going to have to confront this question of what does having affection for somebody really, what does that change about you? What does it mean to you? And in evaluating all the different scene choices I had, I was thinking about fleshing out some of Dick's backstory to show where he came from to inform why he makes a certain change in his character in the story. And when I looked at that scene that I wrote, this backstory scene, which is really funny and it's really good, and I think it really helps round out Dick a little bit more as a character, I realized, you know, this doesn't really directly point to anything that's in the central idea of my story. So that doesn't necessarily need to be in the story. I'm going to put that in a subcategory. I'm going to put that in like sort of like if bowl A holds all the ideas that directly refer to my big idea, bowl B can be supportive ideas, but they don't, you know, I'm not going to cry if I have to nix them, if I have to get rid of them. And then once I've prioritized that, once I've come up with this sort of general assemblage of scenes that are in no linear or chronological order, they're just a bunch of scenes that could all happen at the same time or could all happen different times, I look through and I say, which one is the most interesting one to start with? Which one has the most hook? Which one presents a situation that is intended to make a reader say, I wonder what's going to happen next? Okay. Not every story has to start this way, but again, this is how I like to begin writing the scenes. Because now I'm going to back up a second and talk about the actual writing part. This is the part that I don't think, at least I have not found the words for yet, to communicate. This is where it really gets into just feeling it out and just brainstorming ideas. Sort of starting with a scene that's already constructed and say, and then what happens? And start to fill in the blanks between that scene and one of the other scenes. And it's during this process that I usually start to figure out what order the scenes need to go just by picking one and starting there. Now, when I say picking one and starting there, I mean in a linear or chronological sense of assembling scenes, not in a linear or chronological sense of what times these scenes happen. These scenes can be, we start at the end of the story, you know, Sunset Boulevard, ending, starting the movie with the guy dead in the pool. Or it can be in the middle of the story. It can be anywhere in the chronological sense of the characters' lives, and you can zip back and forth as you wish. But I'm talking about from you, the author, from your standpoint, the timeline of assembling the story. Scenes begin to find their place just in the process of knitting the first couple scenes together. You start with a scene, at least, again, this is what works for me. You start with a scene that seems interesting. This is a good first page. This is a good hook for the overall story to get pique people's curiosity. It's funny or it's scary or there's something emotionally powerful about that scene that will get people to wonder what's going to happen next to your characters. It's a good lead, right? And we usually have a pretty good gut sense of that. Character doing their taxes? Not necessarily so, you know? Well, unless, well, you know, I'd be hard-pressed to find a way to make that a dynamic-looking scene. But if you look at the first page of the front, I started with Thirsty and Sam in a Ferris wheel about to get torn apart by a giant abominable snowman. you know, that wasn't arbitrary. That was something where I knew that chapter one was going to involve the kids getting attacked at the county fair. Where do I begin? Do I begin with Thirsty waking up that morning and putting on his clothes and saying hello to his dad and walking down the street and introducing all the characters? Well, I could, but that's not very interesting. What's that hook? Well, the hook is that I start with him and being in a ridiculous situation where he's clearly in some kind of danger, and then back up. Let's back up a pace, and we'll spend the next 20 pages catching up to that point where he's falling to his death. You see what I'm saying? And in knitting your way through that, I find, and this is where a lot of that writing stuff happens in the back of the brain, going to that art mullet idea, is by losing yourself in that process of just spitballing and trying to just throw ideas out to find your way between two different scenes. To quote C.S. Lewis, one of the things he said in one of his letters to an author friend is that in writing a story, you come up with the action scenes, and you come up with, or rather the major plot scenes, and then there's a whole bunch of spade work in between. You know, it's a whole bunch of filler getting your characters to and from all of the points of tension in your story. And then that's where you have to do characterization. That's where you have to do world building. That's where you have to fill in with a lot of necessary data in as interesting and as poetic and beautiful a way as possible. But nonetheless, it's something that happens when you're actually being creative. And as we've said a million times on Art and Story, you can't teach creativity. All you can do is point people at a few strategies to help jumpstart that creativity. So there's that. Assemble the scenes, prioritize the scenes according to some kind of big idea, theme, for lack of a better term. It doesn't have to be a theme. It can just be a big idea. What's the big idea that's being explored, and how can you prioritize all of the scenes that you've written in some kind of sort of arrangement of importance of which ones reflect the scenes most appropriately into whatever different degrees of volume. And then of those scenes, see if you can find one that's the most interesting place to start, and then start feeling your way out between that and one of the other scenes. And then you'll find that after a couple scenes get strung together, you'll find it's easier and easier to figure out where everything else is going to go. At least that's what my experience has taught me. So who am I? I'm Jersey Droz, jdroz.com, Jersey on the Twitters. Thank you very much for supporting us in this project. We couldn't do it without you. I don't think there's any announcements to make for Art and Story in general. Well, Mark just posted a video on Art and Story Supreme. If you haven't seen it, go back into the feed and take a look. And I should, you know, I'm going to throw out a web credit for a change. You know who did the music for this show? My brother Elliot. And he is working on a website. It's elliotdrozd.com. It's E-L-I-O-T-T, Drozd. Yep. Everybody in our family got nutty names, I guess, because I got the goofy Polish one, and Elliot got his name misspelled, and it was an intentional misspelling. I think my parents thought they were being clever. So one L, two T's, and ElliotDroz.com. He's going to be posting some music on there soon for people to check out. I'll be making some more noise about that, but I just thought I'd give him a little bit of a web plug, considering that he came up with that awesome, awesome theme song for Thunder Punch Daily. So speaking of that, I'll be back soon with another Thunder Punch Daily. And until then, remember, everybody.
A very long time ago, a wonderful document came into being. It was called the Magna Carta.
It was the first big step in recognizing that all people were created equal. But even though more laws have been passed to guarantee that, there are still those who try to keep others from being free.
Fortunately, Queen Samana realized in time that only by working together could her city be saved. And that's the way it should be. Together. Right?
Right.